All right, ladies and gents, welcome to AMD Podcast. And before we get started, I just want to say thanks to everybody that's, you know, that's been supporting season one all the way through season eight. And by the time you guys hear this, this is actually season eight, episode 14. And when I first started the podcast 3 years ago, this person right here is one of the first people that my friend Patrick recommended as far as like getting the community in San Diego involved as far as like healers. And I got a chance to get to know her these past couple years, and she is a inner healing coach, she's an author, she's an activist, and lately I think it's really cool that she's been facilitating healing workshops, leadership workshops, and mindfulness workshops for different settings like school districts. She's been working with the school districts and different corporate settings, and I haven't spoken to her in a while. So ladies and gents, we got Miss Christina Jerry in the house. What up?
What up?
Good to see you, dude.
I know. It's so dope to see you. Thank you so much.
How has life been since, I know we haven't spoken since the pandemic. What was that like for you around that time when everything shut down? Like, how did that affect your business in any way? Or in a good way, bad way?
Yeah. I think for the work that I do, it's about helping people understand that there is really no difference between good and bad, or these polarities of positive, negative, good, bad, right, wrong. Those can cause more harm, and shifting towards this idea that everything just is. So we place that meaning of something is good, something is bad, something is right, something is wrong. And so, you know, just being mindful of the meaning that we place on it, right? So just asking me, like, how it impacted me is perfectly fine without the fucking connotations, right? It is what it is, motherfuckers.
So, like, did you find, like, did you get more clients coming in with anxiety, more clients with, like...
So what I'm seeing, the shift between 2020 versus now. So for my business, personally, in 2020, it spiked and grew because people had this willingness to work on themselves because they had an excess of time, right? And so they were willing to do that work. Then things kind of started opening back up, and we got back into being outside, ignoring our shit, suppressing our shit, but then almost getting addicted to temporary pleasure, right? Shows, concerts, whatever the temporary pleasure is. That now what I'm seeing is this now a shift in, oh, we didn't really actually face a lot of our shit. We just fucking ran from that shit. And then we sought that temporary pleasure that we don't really know how to experience joy. And so we've lost that pureness that we had when we were children, or that ability to experience joy. And now we're all on this kind of temporary chase of, or continual chase of temporary pleasures, whether that's, you know, attention from men or women, or on social media, likes, growing your business, right? Whatever temporary pleasure, drinking, getting high on whatever fucking drug of choice, right? Or you're high on success, right? Like the next win, the next come up, the next level up, the next whatever.
Addicted to your work. Do you feel like have you been through your workaholic phase yet? You think you're a workaholic?
Oh, absolutely. I was a workaholic. That is what got me to where I am today. Like, but, you know, it's not about shaming that part of me. It's about loving and accepting that part of me of, like, I needed to be that to get to where I am. But that way of being no longer serves me, because if I stay in that grind, it pulls away from me. It pulls away from my son. It pulls away from what I have told myself my values are. So you can heal that workaholic energy within the self. It's not that challenging. There's simple tools to healing that. And then when you heal that side of you, you realize that you can call upon the workaholic when it's needed, right? Like,
sometimes you have to be.
This isn't about being like, oh, kumbaya. Take one step and you know, when you go to Catholic church, fucking mass.
Oh my God. So,
it's not about that shit. Like, there's a time to, like, be like, all right, I'm going to call upon the workaholic in me right now. This is needed right now. And then I know when to put that part of me to rest.
do you take breaks off on Sundays, or do you try to have clients scheduled Sundays?
So for me, it's less about a strict schedule or day. That's, I think, important to start there, right? So for myself, for clients, depending on when I work with clients and whatever they're, you know, moving through and whatever the goal is in their life, right? It's specific, depending on the client, is going to be how I guide them through to get to their joy, basically, and their ability to grow in their business or career and flourish in their family. So it would start something. It first, the beginning, I used to be like, block off Sundays, right? Or had time blocks off, like intentional days off. Now, then there was this shift of, how can I build a life I don't need to take a vacation from? How can I build a life I don't need to block from?
No doubt.
And that's what shifted to how I live my life now. And so every day I break. Every day I tune in. Every day I vacation. Every day I grind too.
Yes. Like,
so I've built, but that's what allows me to take on more, right? So why I can work with clients with such intense shit, why I can walk into corporate or Science. Educational spaces and, you know, create restorative working environments, because we get hurt at work too.
Yes, we do.
Like, hella hurt at work. And
day.
So sometimes more there than with our families, right?
Their own crib, you know?
And so, you know, booking me for a workshop to like teach managers and your team, like, either if there's some pain that has already popped off, how do we create some healing here so that we can be more productive and efficient as a team, or in a preventative measure, shit hasn't popped off, but we want our team trained in this way. So then people are able to show up at work authentic, ready to serve,
ready to
give, hella.
Be professional.
As opposed to on their bullshit.
And
like, and it happens everywhere. It happens in count. It happens everywhere.
How do you train these bosses to not be sensitive when it's time to we give you some critique?
Mm-hmm.
We give you some feedback about
yes, your exactly. Creating a working environment where basically subordinates can come to you and check you, and even in with your family, creating a sacred enough space to where your child can check you when you're actually in the wrong, and for you to receive that shit. Because that's what it's like. That's what it's about, right?
The uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
That you need to hear.
Or your child being safe enough to come to you to share, hey, mom. Or not even about you, about themselves. Hey, mom, I feel like hurting myself. Kids are scared to come to their parents because their parents are going to shame them, punish them, say something's wrong with them for thinking that. How could you think that? The parents make it about themselves, right? So what the shift I see now in 2023 versus then is we have so much more anxiety, depression, stress than then, because it's compounded from all of the bullshit and trauma that we experienced in 2020, compounded with everything we had before, then what we've experienced now, and it's just grown exponentially. Like, and I sound like a super fucking nerd, but that's what, like, people who are coming to me now, they're beyond their breaking points, and they're successful people, like, but miserable every fucking day.
It's crazy, right? Like, you think just because someone's paper's up, you think that that fixes everything. It doesn't.
It doesn't. And then I have families, you know, because I come from the hood, right? So, like, I also work with families who are impacted by incarceration or who have a loved one who's incarcerated. And so, like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't fucking matter. You're any status.
Famous, not famous, coming up, unknown. Middle class, you never know what someone's pain is like or what mental issues they're going through, you know? Let me ask you this. What, I know you've been doing some workshops for teachers too in the educational setting. What can teachers benefit from this?
Yeah, dope ass question.
No, they deal with stress every
day. No, and I'm so glad you asked that question, because I was thinking the same thing for the home, right? Like, how do we create home environments to where we're not suppressing, right? That sacredness. So with teachers, right, it's giving them the skills to be trauma informed, right? Identifying that some of these behaviors that the children are having in class, disassociating, not paying attention, snapping back quickly, hitting themselves, having these tantrums, saying, oh, I'm so fucking dumb. And they're young. They're young. Having suicidal ideations at 8 years old, at second grade.
It's crazy,
like,
man.
Really saying these things. They're not saying these things to get attention. They're saying these things.
Reaching
like, they're
out.
Experiencing these things, right? And so for teachers, equipping them with minor shifts in how they respond to
right.
moments like that is going to create a sacred connection between a safe space, right? For the child to realize they're now in a reactive energy, but they can shift into a responsive energy, and that teacher will hold the space for them. Instead of that child just getting punished or that teacher getting frustrated, and now it's such a challenge every day.
And like, I'm sure, how do you, like, companies when they deal with, they feel like there's favoritism. Have you ever dealt with that, where they think they need some guidance in, like, how to treat everyone equally, like real estate settings? Do you think maybe sometimes people think there's favoritism, or, you know what I'm saying, like discrimination a little bit, like certain men gets all the opportunities and certain women don't, or maybe this boss is like giving more attention to a certain woman and not everyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. I chuckled because I actually am booking a workshop with a real estate company right now for their team. And so we're trying to figure out which workshop is going to kind of be best for their team. So the three workshops that I, like, my standard workshops are the power of forgiveness, like how to create restorative work environments, self-care for success. So it's self-care, like real, in each of my workshops, you get real tangible tools on how to for yourself and your team.
Amen.
So it's self-care for success that's specific to that industry.
Right.
And the last one is affirmative leadership. So how to lead, how to lead your life, how to lead your team, how to affirm one another. And so that's a super dope vibe too. But I also do custom ones as well. But so for, I think it's different if I'm working with someone one-on-one, if we're discussing discrimination or feeling not valued or seen in the workplace,
yeah.
right? So we have to first identify, like, is this real discrimination? Mm. Is this a wound that you have? Is it both?
Is it both?
Is it, you just.
That's real shit.
No, real shit. Real shit. Like,
maybe it's both.
Like, real shit.
Yep.
Like, right? And so, you know, and there's times where, like, I've received something and totally from my womb, was never intended that way, no one else took it that way, and that the way that I perceived it, totally on fucking me. And so you gotta learn to identify that.
Yes,
you hella have to learn to identify that. So
yes.
Working with someone one-on-one when it comes to something like that versus like if I'm working with a team is gonna be a little bit different approach, right? So in the team, it's, has this actually been clarified, or is this just like a reoccurring theme? Is this a specific incident? Is this, again, teasing out what it actually is and then giving them tangible tools to move through that individually and as a team? If it's someone that I'm working with one-on-one, it's, for me, what I'm committed to is that they're now tethered or braided with their innermost value, right? And when you value yourself, you can advocate for yourself in your truth and not from your pain and accusing the other person. And so in that advocating, maybe you get a raise, right? Maybe it's less about what's happening to you and more about standing in the elevation of yourself in that space, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So giving them the tools to like do that shit in a very simple way.
Let me ask you this. Why is forgiveness important? Why is that necessary in someone's life? Or is it? Do we have to forgive everybody? Or sometimes there ain't no forgiving. Like, why do you think it's necessary in their life?
I think the only person who's ever worth forgiving is the self. Seriously. Because when you start
yes.
to realize that...
That's important, too. Sometimes
like,
we forget to even forgive us.
You realize that anything that happened to you, you internalized and said that was your fault in some type of way.
Yes.
So the more that you forgive yourself, the more that the forgiveness towards anything else or organically fucking goes out like a fucking web or a fire or a network. Like, it just fucking happens. Domino effect. Like, what? Take your fucking choice.
What makes a good leader to you? Especially in the corporate world. What makes a good leader?
A good leader is somebody who's self-aware, who could admit when they're wrong.
That's number, yup.
Who's intentional with their energy.
Yes. Fair.
Is clear with their vision, with their team. Yeah. And advocates for other people to lead in that way as well. Mm-hmm. Right? In their authenticity, in being self-aware, and creating a space where we're here to hear one another and not take shit personal. Mm-hmm. We're here to grow and support one another. And, you know, if you're clearing your vision and if you're self-aware and you're taking ownership, it's just naturally going to happen with your team, which you have to learn how to create that within yourself before you can create that within your team. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things going on in the world, especially our country. Like, there's always mass shootings. There's always mass terrorists going on, especially in the school settings. Police brutality. I could go on and on what's going on in the country. How does that affect you in your work? Do you think you have to be more culturally sensitive these days because of what's happening?
Okay. So,
you know what I mean? Like,
I feel what you're
how
saying.
How sensitive do we have to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything going on.
I think, again, there's a difference between working with someone one-on-one and getting to the root of some of their pain, right? So if they have some, you know, pains around labeling and categorization and kind of shifts that are happening in society, we can address those. Now, if it's a work environment, it's, again, creating that space where everybody feels safe enough to be themselves. Mm. And that's not always easy when you have varying perspectives on things, right? With all of the things that are happening and have been happening historically in this country. So how it affects me personally in the work that I do is making sure people have, you know, the proper tools and techniques to calm their anxiety, right? If we're talking about, I'm working with teachers, I'm working with parents who have their children in schools, and it's really no longer safe to just send your child to school, right? When we're getting these emails that there's a gunman walking on campus, and it doesn't matter what the neighborhood is anymore. Like, these aren't in, you know, low-income communities, or you can't, it's happening in all varying communities now. And so, giving people tools for, you know, we do need to equip our children of how to remain in a situation like this. That is the reality. Mm-hmm. Then you as a parent, you have to learn the tools to self-regulate yourself in this situation. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm seeing in the schools, we have children having more anxiety, more absences, more depression, more failing than ever fucking before. Schools had to decrease, like, districts had to decrease their actual requirements for graduation because students weren't going to fucking graduate.
Fuck.
Like, that's what's happening right now. So parents don't know what to fucking do. And there are simple tools to shift that. But you as a parent can't just be focused on punishing or fixing your child or putting your child in therapy or, like, here, fix the problem. The best way to fix that problem is for you to figure out how you can best guide and actually parent your child through that anxiety and that self-regulation and healing your own shit so that you're not passing down.
Death.
Right? Because my child's a fucking mirror. When he pops off on me, it's hell of an opportunity for me to see what I'm actually passing on to his ass.
Yes, yes, yes. Damn, that's some harsh truth on what we gotta, like, fix at the home, you know?
And that's what I mean. Like, we can be super successful. And you could be fucking passing on these wounds, these pains.
It's a team
effort. And you don't have to.
It's a team effort to raise a child.
And you shouldn't have to. Like, your child is suffering. You are suffering, and you do not have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you can heal your shit by yourself.
That's crazy, right?
But it will take longer. It'll cause more suffering. right? Like, this, you know, we're recording this in May, Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, seek help.
Yes.
Seek help. I have tools to work with people one-on-one, or have your organization bring me in for a workshop, or I have self-healing tools. Like, if for whatever reason you can't work one-on-one because your schedule's too busy or whatever, like, I'm here for you to heal your shit.
Christina, when someone does you wrong and someone hurts you or gets you mad, how long does it take till you forgive? What's your steps in forgiving someone? How do you do it?
Yeah, so for forgiveness, I use the Hawaiian Ho'oponopono. Are you familiar with that? So it's like a four-step forgiveness process. Mm-hmm. Again, it's always most powerful if you begin with yourself. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, you can also envision the other person. You can mm-hmm. do this with journaling while in meditation. And the four-step process is to say, I am sorry, or I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you, and I love you. And so what I have myself do, or what I have my clients do, is, right, whenever there's harm, it takes two, whether intentional or unintentional. So this is the importance of forgiving the self and the other person, right? And to not just say I'm sorry, but what are you apologizing for? Like, really own up to that shit.
Yeah.
I'm apologizing for, not why you did anything, just own up to that shit. I'm apologizing for snapping on your ass.
Yeah.
Please forgive me for hurting you. Right? Like, or making you feel less than, or not important, or that, right? Especially with our children, then they think that it's okay for people to talk like that to them, and for them to talk like that to other people, right? And then thank you for forgiving me. Right? And then I love you because, and then tell someone why you love them. Like, people don't know why we love one another.
Damn, for reals, right?
You say it and it's like,
like, what, you know?
And
then, like,
and you never know. That's why it, like, keeps going on with the insecurities, is like, you only know how you love that person, but that person doesn't know how you love them unless you learn how to fucking express that.
Mm-hmm. Or what you love about them.
Yeah.
The affirmation decks. How has been the reception like with that, with your deck, man? Like, what have the people saying? Like, how has it been helping the community? What's the feedback you've been getting? I know you're still pushing that product. I love it.
I actually have four decks now. So I have, the first deck is Divine Power, and that's where it's 52 affirmations where profanity and divinity collide. Because I believe, you know, we come here to fuck shit up with love and happiness. But adults were using that, and they started to really experience the transformative shift in their lives, right? And their energy elevating, and them, you know, not snapping at their children, and having more energy to get to work, just, you know, shifts in their energy, that they wanted decks for their children. So I created the Divine Light deck, which kind of pairs with or goes in tandem with the Divine Power deck. But if you're an adult, you can just buy the Divine Light deck by itself, and it be something that kind of amplifies your inner light or your inner child. The most recent decks I finished are the Divine Queen and the Divine Mother decks. So the Divine Queen deck is really about embodying your queen essence, right? What it means to be powerful, what it means to be sensual, what it means to be attractive, like magnetic attractive, what it means to be receptive, what it means to actually also, like, act, right? This isn't just like a soft queen, but to, like, be alpha, to be in your, like, masculine energy as a queen as well. So that's a super fucking dope deck. And then the Divine Motherhood deck is really like affirmations to get you through all of the bullshit that motherhood brings. So that you don't lose who you are as a mom. So that the more that you know and affirm yourself, you can also do that with your children. So those decks, how it's being received in the community, it's honestly, there are days, like this happened to me yesterday. I received a text message from someone I've never met. Who's ordered a deck and vulnerably shared what they were experiencing and going through, turned to the deck, and it completely shifted their energy, and they said that they could feel the power of the deck. And I receive messages like this all the time, and I never in my life would have thought I'd be the woman that I am today. Like, that's not that was never my purpose. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a fucking bitch from Southeast Dago. How it's helping the community is, like, it's really changing individual lives. Yeah. It's changing families. People are using these in community circles. I've had people come up to me and be like, oh my God, I've seen your deck at a spiritual healing or at a community, you know, restorative circle, or they're being used in Site 2, you know, prisons right now in California for self-healing programs there and journaling circles there. And I just, that I never thought that's what would happen, right? So when someone purchases a deck is given to a family impacted by incarceration. So I work closely with Prison From the Inside Out. This is a nonprofit that does all kinds of work inside CDCR and the community. We're changing laws. We're working with the families. We're working inside with the men. We're working also with the COs. And we're really trying to heal from the inside out, right? And so when the men go through the program, they use the affirmations. And once they graduate from the program, they pick a loved one to send a deck to. Wow. So when you purchase a deck, you're healing your life and everyone on your path, because you're going to be walking in that new energy. But you're also providing that for another family. And the reason why that's important for me is I grew up system impacted, right? Family members in and out of jail and prison and policing and all of that. But I truly believe that we're inseparable, right? That we're all connected. And so that is how I designed my business, is how the pains that I see in this world and wanting to truly heal them and address them. And that's how that's why I do it that way, right? And so what that does is it, you know, when they graduate and they select a family member to send it to or a loved one to send it to, it reconnects them, even though they're being torn apart by this system. They're now all healing. So then when it optimizes his reentry to go into a home that is healing instead of hurting, right? And they're affirming and lifting one another up. And that's the energy we want in this world. That's the energy that's needed in this world.
What do you think is needed in America, our country? Why is it that we're going through so much anxiety and it's record shattering, like the rate of like suicide, mental health issues? What do we got to change about this country? You know, like
everything,
right?
But I mean, I'm not trying to be a bitch,
keep it real,
but like
we need healing in this country, like you, the United States of America, man.
I mean, but you have to, it has to be done collectively, but mm-hmm. you have to take ownership of your own shit, of how mm-hmm. you've internalized these systems mm-hmm. and how you keep perpetuating them within yourself and your family, mm-hmm. like in how you speak to one another and how you think of yourself
as a minority and how you view yourself as a minority too, you know?
Yeah, like I would never use the word minority. Mm. Like real shit. I would say person of color, because, you know, I have white skin, my dad's Mexican, and as a child he was like, don't ever let anyone call you a minority because there's nothing minor about us. Mm. You know, amen. You're Chicana, right? And for him that's because he was a part of the farm workers movement, and he was very political and he was an activist, and so that identity was important for him to pass on to me. And so at a very young age I was critical of, you know, systems of oppression mm-hmm. and inequity and creating, you know, sustainable change and justice. And so for me, it's what's needed in this country is for us to love ourselves.
Yes.
We don't know how to love, like truly love ourselves.
You know, when I see these clips on the internet surfacing, every time you see these shootings, it's crazy. Like, you just see people walking by, you see people recording it, but you don't see no one helping. But there's definitely people recording it, just like they're not even helping. Like, what happened? It seems like we also don't care about each other.
We forgot that we're human.
When something goes down, you know?
We've lost the empathy. We're way more apathetic.
The police brutality and the police violence going on. What's your thoughts on this? Like, what can the police department benefit from these workshops? They can benefit so much from these workshops. The police department, man, like...
No, actually, that's like a dream of mine, right? And so...
Their inner wounds.
No,
and... They don't know that they got...
Well, and that's why it's so funny. I talk about this very frequently because... of the, you know, FTIO sitting on their board and us doing work in a very different way and working with correctional officers and retired correctional officers volunteering and you know, donating and working with us because they see the work that we're doing is creating a difference, right? And so these systems, policing and imprisonment, they affect those who work in those systems in the same way, if not worse, than those who are being policed and incarcerated. Right? So we're seeing divorce rates, we're seeing suicide rates go up, we're seeing, you know, abuse, alcohol, drugs for those who are correctional officers, those who are, you know, law enforcement. It's hurting them in the same way. Because they have to suppress, they have to internalize this system, and then they're taking it home and
taking it in the streets. Yeah, right.
And it's hurting their families and it's hurting them, right? And so it's this isn't just about helping those who are wrongfully incarcerated, right? Or the injustices of our fucking system. It's that the system is hurting our entire nation and our entire world.
The gun control issue, the mass shootings, what's your thoughts on it? It happens every week. Shit. Twice a week sometimes. Why? I wonder if any other country's going through what we're going through. Maybe it's not. Maybe they are and it's not reported. But shooting schools, like kindergartens, like with AKs, what the fuck's going on in this country that seems like nothing's ever gonna change? It's gonna happen again this week. I hate to sound so morbid. I bring this up in my podcast a lot because
you work with youth and families.
The children's the future, man. And like sometimes they're so innocent. No, all the time they're innocent. And I wonder why I take it out on the kids. Like, it's so evil. I get down about that. I get kind of like depressed and anxious about that when I think about innocent kids getting killed. Sorry, go ahead.
No, don't apologize. I was just here to hold space. I think, you know, the reality is I don't think it's you're being morbid. It's realizing that facing the reality that this is increasing. So instead of ignoring it, right? Because what I do is like, we're not going to ignore this shit. So the fact that this is becoming more and more of a problem, how we've been approaching it hasn't worked. For more gun safety doesn't work. So maybe the shift needs to be teaching true gun safety in the sense of how to engage, because a hunter isn't a killer. So how do we create homes that create healthy relationships to these tools? Because that's what, in some homes where, you know, there are guns, it's not taboo. It's you learn what it's used for, you learn to respect it, you learn its power, you respect it. You're not going to, you understand what it can do. You really understand. So if we were really teaching that instead of ignoring that this is happening.
Yes, man, because it's fucking, it affects.
It affects educational conference, like that's really being, to me, trauma informed.
And you know, the work you do with these corporations, it's necessary because like when you hear things like a Walmart employee shot the whole staff up, shit like that, like, we need so much training and being sensitive to others because you never know what someone's carrying, you know? You may be the boss yelling at this person. You have no idea. This dude's on the brink, on the verge of, like, doing something crazy. And you push him on the edge. That's why you gotta, like, be...
Yes, or learning how, again, to create those sacred environments so people can come to you before. Yeah. Not vent and just dump, but ways in which people can communicate, right? Creating those environments of, hey, I'm on a, even if it's something as, hey, I'm on a 9 today and I can't get pushed past this threshold. Like, you know what I mean?
Sometimes, like, you do gotta warn people, right? But yo, I'm close to snapping today, please. You know, sometimes you gotta tell them, like.
And not to control other people, but say, like, that's also for you to be like, do what you need to do. Take your extra breaks. Take some extra breaths. Like, you know, maybe you need to take half a day or take the day off.
Yeah, maybe you gotta take the day off. I think about the Filipino culture and the things I love about it and things that I disagree with sometimes, you know. I think a lot of Filipinos that are in the United States now, our generation of parents who grew up poor in the Philippines. So when they came here, you're right, like, they didn't, sometimes, I feel like our parents didn't teach us the key to happiness. They taught us just how to work and how to,
that's it,
and how to have a stable job. No one guided us on what's a key to a happy life. Not a busy life, but a happy life. So I think sometimes us who grew up with the Filipino household, we're afraid to take breaks. We feel unproductive when we take days off. We feel guilty resting. Sometimes we feel like, you know, you feel guilty when you rest. I don't know why, you know? This guy's racing.
Donuts, I'm sure. He's not drifting over here.
I love it, man. San Diego. All right.
Oh, fun times.
We're in Santee, y'all.
Oh, the young kids just laughing. Santee's, that's adorable.
Trip. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I think that's many working class, you know, cultures.
Yeah.
Across ethnicities, right?
Yeah.
We could say that about poor Irish families, you can say that about Black families, you can say that about Mexican families, mm-hmm. You can say, you know, about, you know, Dominican, Puerto Rican, there's so many that you can, the same work ethic was instilled, right? Because again, it's migrant families, right, coming here and, you know, pulling themselves up by their bootstraps mentality, right, which is the epitome of this nation, which has harmed us the most,
yeah.
Right? Because it keeps us addicted to work and productivity and the American fucking dream.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah, and not really, again, back to understanding joy or the self.
Yep.
Right? And having these deep values of presence, like, and experiencing being present with yourself or with your children. Because it was the absolute same. I mean, I have so many stories as a kid with my parents. Like, again, my dad's Mexican and Russian and my mom is Irish. And, you know, we would have to go to school no matter what. Like, we were sick, you were still going. And it was like, you're a jogalef. We fucking do shit. And that's how my whole life was. I was like, had to be the fucking best. I worked 3 jobs, put myself through undergrad.
Hard,
you know what I mean? Always was working. Never was good enough. Even when I was at the top. Never gonna be good. And that's what it instills in us, is this perfectionism, and I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough. And you become addicted to just like that, and in that I'm not good enough, you then receive the mistreatment. So then maybe your relationships are suffering. Like, every woman you date is like, just treats you like shit, or every man you date treats you like shit, and you're right. And so we can heal these wounds. We can heal these wounds. So that,
where do you think that starts, us feeling like shit? You think that started from the home? When was that instilled in us, that we ain't shit? That we're not good enough. You think that starts when you're young?
Yeah,
hello. I think that builds up as we get older too, but it definitely starts when you're young,
when
right?
When you're young.
At home.
Anywhere maybe? That you get with the hurt, parent. You know what I mean? Like, so it's going to happen in multiple places, so much so that you then internalize that as your own self-talk and narrative.
I was watching this interview today with this artist. She said, even when people thought I was popping, because I was starting to travel Europe and started going on tour and overseas, and I finally started making money from my music in 2015, people thought that I was happy, but really inside I still feel like shit. I don't feel good about myself. I don't think I'm good enough. And it's a trip, right, Christina? You never know what someone's going through. Just, you know, we may perceive someone as happy, but you never know, dude. Like, That's why suicide's a trip. Because you never know.
You do not know. And almost everybody who comes to me, you know, they're reaching out. It takes a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm. To reach out for help. And admit.
It takes a lot of courage. And so that's always the first thing I do is honor them for reaching out. Whether we work together or not, I fucking see you. You're dope as fuck. Mm-hmm. I honor you for seeing yourself, for having the strength to say, I need help, and then the courage to fucking ask. Like, that's the real fire. And I say that to people. That's worth celebrating in and of itself. Because that's the first step. You're honoring it yourself.
And everybody needs a good friend that they can cry to sometimes. Everybody needs a friend that they can vent to. And if you don't have that, I do encourage to seek professional help. You know, like, whether it's counseling, if your insurance carries up, like, for therapy, if your insurance can carry that, you know. Let me ask you this, like...
Well, and with that, like, don't be afraid to try different providers. Mm-hmm. I think... many times, you know, therapy can get this like bad rap because maybe you had a bad experience or there's just these bad raps, right? And so when you choose to lean into that courage and seek help, whether that's with a therapist, a counselor, a psychologist, a life coach, me, a Reiki energy healer, whatever it is, right? That if it's feeling off for you, don't force it. Like, seek another modality, seek another provider until...
Holistic approach.
Yeah, and I really mean that because not every provider is the same.
Yeah.
Not every provider is the same.
And maybe you may feel like this person right here is not culturally sensitive to your background. So, like, maybe sometimes you need someone that understands the background of your culture, too. Like,
yes.
Tried different therapists these past 3 years. I feel what you're saying.
Well, and not just understanding you and your background, but like how you're internalizing that. How is that showing up in the workplace? How is that showing up in your, you know, your creativity as an artist? How is that, or how is it impacting it? How is it limiting it? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, real shit, we don't understand how our wounds and our pains are really impacting us. You don't. Until you begin to do this liberating work, right? Of like soul liberation, like really freeing yourself and healing your shit. And then it does. Then you realize, fuck, I had no idea it was holding me back like this. Yeah. Now my creativity is flowing. Now I am elevating at work. Now I'm fucking leading my teams in a wholehearted, like, dope ass way that, like, they're all being receptive to now. Like, you don't realize how much your wounds are really affecting you.
Yes, for real. Damn. Motherhood, what has it taught you these days? How has it been changing you? Like, as the years go by, how do you see motherhood? Are you still learning a lot about yourself?
Every fucking day.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Every fucking day, because it's parenting isn't about controlling your child or getting the appropriate response or following these societal norms, right? We feel those pressures. I want my child to respect me. I want him to listen the first fucking time. I like want him to give me a response when I ask a fucking question. Like, real shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want him to be the kid like scratching some bitch at school. Like, but that's life. Like, you know, or you don't want to be like clients I work with, like, you don't want to be the parent like, oh fuck, you know, it's common. These children are having to, like, in high school they have so many absences, their anxiety is so high that they're having to go on like independent study or summer school. Like, it's so fucking high, right? So like, parenting right now is like, again, how can I actually support my child through this shit we've never experienced as a family? It begins with you being able to actually lead them through that shit. So you have to actually go to all of your shit and clean it the fuck up. Like, I'm dead ass serious. So, you know, with my son, when we're being told something is happening at school, it's not about me punishing him and disciplining him. That doesn't work for nobody. You internalize that shit. So it's about giving him what he actually, his energy actually needs, which more often than not is just presence and joy. Again, not pleasure and the temporary happiness, but being truly present and enjoying that fully.
Would you say you're a strict mom?
Yeah, I'm hella strict. But there's other areas where, like, it's super free-flowing, where yeah. other parents would probably be like, oh my fucking God, here come the hippie clowns.
Let me ask you this.
Look the other way.
Christina, when he talks back to you, how do you control yourself? Maybe you have wounds. What I'm saying is, like, he talks back to you and there's something in that that triggers you. Like, how do you handle it when he talks back to you?
Yeah, there's different. It just depends, right? And it differs.
Yeah.
Right? So I can take my deep breaths.
Do you snap back quick?
There's sometimes that I snap back.
Yeah,
right?
You're human.
If, like, I'm depleted or if he also needs to be put in his place. Like, there's a time and a place for that.
You gotta check.
Like, there is a time and a place for that, but you can't overexert that either. And so that's a fine line, and it's permeable, and you have to learn to move with that line, right? That movable line. So you know, when he does, of course, like, I've learned to check my adrenaline so that, yeah, like, fuck yeah, all I want to do is, like, you want to choke this motherfucker out? Like, who you think you are, bitch? Like. But what comes out is...
you gotta check your adrenaline. That's when you know it's real, right? Like, I gotta check my adrenaline, this motherfucker,
sir?
Right here.
I
gotta check my adrenaline, bitch. Right? And then how do you check
it? But then the more that you learn how to self-regulate, right? Check that adrenaline and self-regulate, which means bring down that rising adrenaline, right? You can do that. You can channel that energy, bring it down. So then it's simple. Yo, you know you can't speak to me like that. And then if you have that calm knowing, they just, like, he stops. But it takes so much self-regulation to get to that point,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And it doesn't mean that you're always going to be at that point. So then when you get a little, you know, teetered and knocked off, you adjust. You get back to it. But that's your real power.
What's a Monday like for Christine and Jerry? Let's say Monday. What do you do? Monday, what's a Monday like?
Yeah, I wake up really early in the fucking morning.
What time?
Somewhere between 3:30 and 4:30.
Why? What do you do?
But see, like, look, I do way more than most people do, right? And a part of I'm not here just for the healing, right?
Yeah.
I'm here for the elevation, right? So I help people become more efficient and more successful. I take on more than most people on any given fucking day, and I'm still joyful, and I'm still peaceful, and I'm still present, and I still play with my son. I still enjoy a fucking, you know, joint or a beer or time with family. Most people don't, right? So I help people get to being able to tap into their infinite energy, basically, right? So yeah, I wake up hella early, mainly to just tune in with my fucking spirit so that I can take on whatever the fuck this day brings. And when I don't do that, right, that's how I can self-regulate when, you know, my son comes at me crazy. If I'm lacking in that area, if I don't do that, I'm probably gonna pop off on his ass.
So you wake up at 3:30. What time do you crash? What time do you have to sleep to be able to wake up at 3:30?
Yeah, I usually go to bed at like 9:30.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I go to bed early.
6 hours? Okay.
Yeah, that's
still good.
That's more than most people these days. Uh-huh. Most people are on their phone till, you know, 3-4 in the morning. They get up at 6 or 7.
That's crazy, right?
Like, real shit.
So,
like, I put my phone on airplane and I fucking go to sleep.
Do you meditate? So you wake up at 3:34. Do you meditate first? Do you?
Yeah. So, you know, I take care of my household first in the morning, and then I meditate and I journal, and then
you journal?
Get some writing in, like, for work. And I write because I am an author and, like, that type of writing. I'll move my body, whether that's, like, lifting, working out. But it's not regimented, like routine like that. It's I check it. The reason why I check in with myself in the morning is like, what is it that I need to get through this day the most efficiently?
Right.
And that's going to be different every fucking day for all that I manage or whatever. Right. So like, instead of Monday, let's just do fucking tomorrow. Tomorrow, okay, I'm gonna be up early because I go live at 6 a.m. And sometimes I have
IG
on Facebook on Thursdays, Monday on IG. But sometimes I have clients on the East Coast, yeah, right? So I'm seeing them at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Just,
right? Yeah. So because it's 7 or 8 over there.
Wow.
So I enjoy getting up early, right? Have IG at 6 a.m. I have, you know, some meetings in between. But then from 9 to 11, I'm at my son's school volunteering. Then at 11:45, I have an appointment. Then I have 3 o'clock, I have to pick him up, take him to his dad's. And then I have from 6 to 10 another appointment. So, like, it's just, you know, it just, that's life.
Yes.
Like, when you handle your shit, you know, like, that's it. But I love what I do, and I love how I help, you know, families.
Yes.
Really, but also helping, I've worked with people who don't have children, you know, like with artists or professionals who don't have children. Like,
speaking of artists, who you bumping lately? What you listening to? What music you?
Oh my god, I've been on some old school shit.
Like what? Like what?
Like, I've been on a Sugar Free kick.
Sugar Free?
Yes.
Word?
Yes. Definitely been on that. And then, you know, once I moved out to the country, I've tuned in to some country fucking music. I hella fucks with Russ.
Russ?
Yeah. Malachi loves Russ. And then I'm a mom, so I listen to whatever the fuck he wants to listen to, and that shit gets annoying.
What have you been watching lately, whether it's Hulu, Netflix? What you watching lately?
Funny shit.
Like what? Like what? Like stand up?
Yes, stand up.
What you think of Chris Rock?
And then I watched all the what's that Queen Charlotte that just came out? And Mother, because that was just came out. But I'm like, with stand up, I'm watching old stuff, or even with funny old rerun of shows, like Workaholics.
Yo, 2023, we're almost halfway done. What are your some of your short term goals you want to accomplish before this year ends?
Oh, I already know what I'm doing this year. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
What you got?
So, you know, I'm partnered with FTIO, so going to their graduations. We have a graduation on June 6th and another one on June 24th.
Nice.
June 6th is for Avenal. That is the program that their families will be receiving decks.
Nice.
Affirmation decks. So, you know, that's, I'm super excited for that in June. Another graduation at LA, an LA facility, so I'll be at that on the 24th. What I'm finishing this year is, I mean, I'm excited for like the start of the school year and working with more corporations, but also publishing my book.
What's the title?
Heal Your Shit. And heal is an acronym for, like I said, the first step is honoring, right? So if there's a pile of like gaga or shit in your kitchen, if you ignore that shit, what would happen? It's gonna stink. You might step in it, spread it throughout your fucking house. Other people might step in it, or flies come, maggots come. It just festers into more shit, right? And that's what it is with like emotional and mental and spiritual healing. Yeah, but we ignore it, and then it goes all over us. Shit is fucking everywhere. And it really could be as simple as cleaning up some shit, like your dog took a shit in the kitchen. You honor that it's there. So HEAL is an acronym for honor, embrace, ascend, and love. So you honor, you acknowledge that it's there. You go over to it and you embrace it. You pick that shit up. So you have to pick your shit up. You have to touch your fucking shit.
Yes.
You have to embrace it. You gotta hug it. You gotta embrace it, right? Then you have to move that shit out of the house, hopefully. So you have to ascend. You have to move through your pains. And this might be exercises like dancing or walking or whatever. You have to move through them.
Yes.
And then you have to hopefully go back to that area where there was some shit and disinfect it, right? So show it some love and create a new energy for that space. And it's the same with our wound. Then after you've honored, acknowledged it, moved it, all of that shit, you have to go back and put some love in that area. You have to love your wound. You have to love your pain. And then you have to love and recreate a new energy from that. Right? And so that's what the book is about.
I'm so proud of you. When's the release date for the book?
I don't know when the release date is. I'm working with the Balboa Press.
Dope. I love it. Yo, any other announcements you want to say to the peoples out there before you wrap it up? Any, you know, also XtinaJerry.net. Is that where people...
Yes, go to XtinaJerry.net. So XtinaJerry.net. You can book a workshop. You can reach out to me. Or book a consultation and figure out what's going to be best. Is it booking a workshop for your team or for your family? Or is it working one-on-one? Is it enrolling or using one of my kind of self-healing tools, right? Figuring out what's best for whatever you're in. Because I don't fucking know. So XtinaJerry.net or, you know, Instagram. Xtina.Jerry.
Yes. And to all my folks tuning in, I'm definitely gonna put the link on the episode description so you guys can peep the affirmation decks, and you guys can contact her for
there's services. So much on my website. So it's like, it's the affirmation decks. I'm like, let me actually plug what the fuck's going on over here. So I have a self-healing resource library. So if you don't even want to reach out to me and you're like, you know what, I fucks with this vibe, I want to heal my shit, but I don't want to talk to nobody, I have a whole library where there's ebooks and e-journals, and you can heal and transform your life without even talking to anybody. There's products on there to like affirm yourself, empower yourself, and then like I said, there's the workshops and working one-on-one. So check it out. There's a shit ton of free resources on there.
To all my folks in San Diego, hope you guys hit her up, because she's part of the community. And she has a lot to offer the youth, and she has a lot to offer the community, man. This is sacred work that needs to be done, and we need more. You know what I'm saying? So thanks for joining, Christina. Thank you for doing this. Yes, MD Podcast, we did it. Peace and love. Laters.
Toodles.